Blog Talk Radio.
Alternative events
that you can go to on Saturday. One of them is Legacy Pro Wrestling in Newton, North Carolina, at the National Guard Armory, a card that features local indie stars such as Anthony Henry, Ethan Case, Smith Garrett, and Joe Black. So a loaded show in Newton, North Carolina at Legacy Pro Wrestling. Or you can go to Gouge Pro Wrestling in Durham, North Carolina at the Mortoroco Music Hall, where the main event will be the Gouge champion Timmy Lou Retton defending the Gouge championship against Ricky Reyes. Also, Pure Pro Wrestling has a show in Pelham, North Carolina at the Pelham Community Center. Those are all those events are on Saturday. And the big event is on, and the big PWX show is on Sunday at Ziggy's in Winston-Salem. And the announced matches for PWX this Sunday is the big main event, where the PWX Heavyweight Championship will be between John Skyler and Ethan Case. For the PWX Tag Team Championship, Country Jack will defend against the American Wolves. In six-man action, the Revolt, the three-man combination of Caleb Conley, Zane Rowley, and Jake Manning will take on the LWO, the three-man combination of Los Bandejos and Lince Dorado. In one-on-one contest, Joe Black will take on Anthony Henry. In singles action, Gunner goes one-on-one with Chip Day. And there will be a PWX Junior Division Ray match. And there's no telling how that will turn out or what kind of match that will be, but a Junior Division Ray match. And that, you know, those are the announced matches for PWX this Sunday.
That is so, one stacked weekend of pro wrestling. Anybody that's trying to say that the Carolinas isn't doing great things with indie wrestling, they're definitely not paying attention to anything. It is more popular pro wrestling now than ever. That's wonderful. Glad to hear that. Does my heart good to hear it.
And what do you think about the NWA World Championship Wrestling program? Remember the 605 World Championship Wrestling on TBS that used to be on Saturday evening?
Oh, yeah.
Back in that is now on the WWE Network. You can now watch that show. Yes.
That's phenomenal. I have to tune in and check some episodes. That was when, see, I grew up in Pennsylvania, James, and we watched WWF when it was still a NWA territory. And, you know, and that was totally different wrestling. When, and then when I got a chance to see the NWA down here in the South, in the Mid-Atlantic area, wow, that blew my mind because that was totally different wrestling. To me, that was real wrestling. Those guys went out there and did the deal. That's phenomenal. So you got to be able to watch all the old Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair matches, Wahoo McDaniels, Jake the Snake Roberts, the Mass Superstar, all those kind of guys.
That was good stuff back then. They had great storylines. It was studio wrestling back when there was only 100 people in the studio, but it was a lot of fun. That's for sure.
Yeah, that was when we got a call.
Yeah, we got a call. Let's see who it is. I believe it's Stephen Fry. Hey, Stephen Fry, welcome to Carolina Wrestling Live Radio.
Sure, what's up?
Or area code 919, you're on the air. Area code 91. Hello, 919, you're on the air. Would this be a caller or a listener? Okay, that call is dropped. Okay, we move on now. Okay. But yeah, back then you had a studio of 100 people on the 605 show. You don't see wrestling like that today.
to me, that was great. And if you remember back in the day, everything was always a big build-up with those studios to a bigger event like at the Omni. Now, I grew up in Pennsylvania. I never, ever got a chance to see the Omni, but they used to build those matches up at the Omni like it was the best wrestling ever. Coming this Saturday night to the Omni. I know they used to talk about that. I used to ask my dad to drive to Atlanta so I could go to the Omni. They never would. Yeah, any of you people out there that just called in, if that was one of our guests, please call us back on the line. Give us a call again at 347-850-1893. If anyone should be listening, if you got a question, give us a call in on the same number. You can talk to any of us or talk to one of our guests. Hopefully, I'll be calling back in a moment. So, continue on, James. I'm here.
While we wait. Okay, while we wait, I guess we can go over to CWF Mid-Atlantic results from Friday night.
Sounds good to me. Run them down.
I'll run it down. It happened at the Mid-Atlantic Sportatorium this past Friday night in Gibsonville, North Carolina. The first match, DeAndre Jackson defeated Rob Killjoy in a huge Tornado Cybernetico match. It was a 16-man elimination contest. And I will tell you the order of an elimination in the contest. First, it was Dirty Daddy. 2, Michael McAllister. 3, Sis. 4, Black Baron. 5, Flash Nash. 6, Aaron Biggs. 7, Elijah Evans. 8, Chris Lee. 9, Lance Lude. 10, Ethan Case. 11, Ethan Alexander Sharp. 12, Darius Lockhart. 13, Smith Garrett. 14, Chase Owens. The 15-man eliminated was Brad Attitude, and the winner of the Tornado Cybernetico was John Skyler. In the next match, Zane Dawson defeated Cyrus in a 2-out-of-3 falls triathlon contest. The team of Trevor Lee, Chet Sterling, and Jesse Adler defeated Roy Wilkins, Kamikaze Kid, and Chappie. In a cage of death, where this was an elimination match, where the last man left had to have his head shaved. So the order of elimination was Eric Royal, Ray Kendrack, Mitch Connor, Lee Valiant, and Eric Andrews. The last man left was Eric Andrews, but Eric Andrews escaped, and Lee Valiant was knocked unconscious, so Lee Valiant had his head shaved. So Lee Valiant has his head shaved bald, and that's CWF Mid-Atlantic for Friday. Well, we got a caller online. Let's see if this is Stephen Fry right now. Would this be Stephen Fry?
Hi, how are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful, I'm alive. It's good and cold. I love this time of year. It's Thanksgiving. Tomorrow night, I get to go bust somebody in the head. That's exactly what you should do if you're in the wrestling business on Thanksgiving night. After you eat turkey, life's great.
Yeah, I think so, too. You work off a couple of those pounds, hit somebody head with a shovel or a bat. That sounds good to me.
Exactly right.
How are you today, Mr. Fry?
Yes, man, I'm doing great. It's Thanksgiving time. And that brings back memories of the old Starcades that used to happen every Thanksgiving night. And now I'm just proud that we can keep the tradition alive in Asheboro, North Carolina tomorrow night. On a Thanksgiving night, after you fill your belly full of turkey, come out and watch me and my client punch people in the face tomorrow night.
It's a great night of Thanksgiving. It doesn't get better than that.
That's right. That's right.
Throw a couple of Asian masseuses in there at the hotel room and you got a party.
That's after we punch people in the face.
Of course, you got to work all those muscles.
Keep that part quiet, though. That part's not supposed to be broadcast.
Oh, sorry about that. I won't tell anybody the hotel room number.
Yeah, exactly. Please don't. We don't want, we only have so many masseuses to go around. We can't water it down with extra people.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But it's going to be a great time, man. This is a great time of year. I love it. The fall, you know, it's not quite winter yet, almost, even though it feels like it. We still have some decent warm days, good cold night. It's great. Yeah, I'm doing wonderful. I hope you guys are too.
I'm doing great, getting ready for tomorrow night. I've been dieting all week. I don't think it's going to make a difference because I'm eating the extra piece of pumpkin pie with the
wedding. Yes, sir.
It's going to be great. And then, of course, Sunday, after all the pro wrestling's over, you get the chance to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that by itself is a great night. I know that has nothing to do with wrestling, and I'm not segueing to nothing. I'm just a Steelers fan, and I do believe you are as well, Mr.
Yes,
Fry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Die hard Steelers fan, and I'm glad it's a 4 o'clock game. Although I will be at a show Sunday in Winston-Salem at a bar, but that's the great thing, it's at a bar. Football will still be on the screen. I'll still be able to watch my Steelers and watch people get punched in the face all at the same time. Life couldn't be better.
You'll
right
get
now.
To see your team win and your client win at the same time. It doesn't
exactly.
get any better than that. That's
life
a great
could not
weekend.
Be any better right now. The only way it could get any better right now is if a leprechaun come bouncing through here and I caught it. That'd be the only thing that makes life better right now.
So Friday night. So Friday night. What time are you in Friday night?
Well, now Friday night, I'm actually off.
Friday nights are off. So it's Thursday
yeah,
night tomorrow night for Thanksgiving. You got Friday off, and then you're back out Saturday night, right?
Yep. Saturday is WrestleCade, the big WrestleCade. I'll be. Appearing at the Big Time Wrestling Carolina's table at WrestleCade.
Nice.
Along with Lucha Underground star Ricky Reyes, who will be signing autographs and taking pictures. I will as well. Plus, we'll have a lot of great merch for sale, you know, of course. And then Saturday night, we'll be leaving from WrestleCade around 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and Saturday night we'll be in Durham for Gouge Pro Wrestling at Motor Co. You can look that up online. I'm not sure. I think I sent you guys the link to the Facebook page. Maybe you can post it up so people can find it if they're not sure.
Have you done many events at this building before?
No. Actually, this will be my first time there, but I understand that it is a bar also, the Durham show, so
okay. That'll
be wonderful also.
To me, I think those bar shows are some of the rowdiest, craziest shows to be at.
Oh, yeah, they're wonderful. The crowd is great. The action is always hot because, you know, the guys know, hey, I'm already at a bar, this is going to be fun. I don't know, it seems like sometimes the bar shows the guys step it up a notch. You know, I guess maybe it's the intimate setting. I'm not sure. Maybe the crowd's more fun because they're half liquored up. I don't know, but they're always fun. I always look forward to the bar shows. They're always a blast. Plus, you know, you don't have to go in, you don't even have to leave the building for the after party.
That's the best part. You stay right there after you get done wrestling and drink your cold beer.
Exactly. You have the after party right there after the show. You don't even have to go anywhere. So, I'm really looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be fantastic. Like I said, this is my favorite time of year, you know, around the Thanksgiving holidays, you know, which I like Christmas too. Don't get me wrong, but it seems like when I was growing up, there was always a nice Christmas show, Christmas night. Now, no, there seems like there's nobody runs Christmas night anymore. Now, it was always a big, in the Jim Crockett days, Christmas night was always a big night in Charlotte, you know. That area always had a big Christmas show, but nobody does that anymore. So now I really look forward to the Thanksgiving weekend, you know, around Thanksgiving, that the Asheboro CWS Asheboro has made Thanksgiving a tradition again for the last several years, and then you always have WrestleCade around this time. It's just an exciting time as a wrestling fan, wrestler, manager, to be in this area of the country. For, you know, if you love wrestling, this is an exciting time of year. There's always some, there's always some great wrestling closed around Thanksgiving.
Why is it you think that the companies are afraid to run on Christmas? You think they're going to afraid to lose their shirt?
Because
to me, I mean, outside of Christmas, there's not really nothing going on.
Yeah, well, see, I think that was the whole reason that they done so well anyway. You're cooped up in your house all day at Christmas with family that you usually see only maybe a couple times a year. And the reason you only see them a couple times a year is because you don't really like them anyway. Crammed up for a couple, you know, for several hours with them during the day, you're looking to let off some steam. That's why Christmas night was always one of the biggest nights of the year for movies.
Right.
You know, when Hollywood would release movies on Christmas because they know people have been cooped up all day with their families. They're looking for something to do that night. They need to get out and let off some steam to get away from these people. And, you know, like I said, you only see them a couple times a year, and there's a reason for that. And now you've been around them all day, and you feel like strangling somebody or screaming and letting off some steam. Wrestling matches are the best way to do that. You know, you go pay $10 or $15, you get to scream for 3 hours.
That's what
you know, as far as entertainment dollars go, you don't get any more than a wrestling match. 3 hours of entertainment. You can't do that anywhere. Hell, the movies cost you $10 a pop, and sometimes they're only an hour and a half. And then they rape you at the concession stand. So, you know, wrestling was always the perfect thing for Christmas, and even Thanksgiving's the same way. And now why people stop running on Christmas night, I don't know. It's like when I mean, they used to do a big Christmas night thing in Dallas, world class. But that was one of their biggest nights of the year. They had one of the biggest houses they have all year long was always Christmas night. Same way in Charlotte. You know, it was one of the biggest houses Charlotte would have all year would be Christmas night, you know. Of course, Greensboro's biggest house would always be Thanksgiving for Starcade. But, you know, the holidays do so well, and I don't know why people just stop running Christmas. I don't understand.
I think the promoters need to get together and run like a super show for Christmas in Charlotte.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal. I think it would be a big draw.
Yeah, well, it would if you could get the promoters to get along long enough to get together and do it.
Right.
You know, that's another – that right there is a topic for a whole – you could do a whole show just on that. But
I actually thought about that. The reason why promoters and wrestlers can't work together.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we could do a whole show just on that topic. So we'll leave that for another night, you know, when everybody's got a couple hours free, so we can really burn that bridge up. But, yeah, it's just it seems that things that used to hear And it all goes back to, I think, the NWA when they tried to take wrestling away from this region. You know, they took the Starcade. And they wanted to go national so they could keep up with Vince. So they moved Starcade to Chicago, and which I think was the biggest mistake ever. When, you know, because these are the fans that have been loyal to you. And it's like, you know, you're crapping on them by taking the big show away from your base audience, the people who have supported you all along, just so you can look big in front of the other promotion and say, look, we can compete with you and go up there. I mean, the ticket sales were miserable, I think. They papered the audience because they had to, but they wanted to look good, you know. I think that's where it started, but, you know, this area was so hot for holidays and things like that. I don't know why the indie promoters stopped doing it, you know, because the people were starving for it. And no one's giving it to them. You know, not like Thanksgiving, of course, CWS Asheboro, for the last several years, they've been running Thanksgiving, and it seems to be one of their biggest shows of the year.
Wow.
Now, Christmas, if somebody was to pick up the ball and start running there, could maybe be one of their promotion's biggest nights of the year if they run Christmas night, you know.
Right.
It's just that there's several hot, you know, it's just things that we grew up with in this area, the people that grew up in this region. We've watched things die off one by one. It's just we've come so accustomed to watching everything die off that we're like, oh, well, they stopped doing that again. You know, geez, you know, I wish somebody would go back to doing it. We just accept it instead of thinking, hey, why don't somebody do this? It just makes sense to me, but, you know, who am I? You know, everybody knows everything, so you can't talk to some people and get them to understand, hey, Christmas night would be an excellent night to run. You know, there's two great nights every year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and people are really missing the boat on the Christmas night, in my opinion.
I agree 100%. In my opinion, I think you're 100% right. I would love to see a Christmas show. To me, just the nostalgia by itself of the old school wrestling, I think would just draw people in, especially in a big city like Charlotte.
Yeah. I mean, it gives them something to do. I remember they used to run special prices in the Coliseum, but, you know, of course, now indie shows probably couldn't do the special prices deal like Crockett could do because, I mean, they had 12,000 seats to work with. You could run special ticket prices. In the size buildings that we have, we're limited in space. Of course, you know, we can't do that, but I still think put a good show together on a Christmas night, you're going to fill it up. People are going to come. There's not that much to do. Like I said, it's one of Hollywood's biggest nights of the year, Christmas night. I mean, they've got it figured out, you know. They if you follow the same league of Hollywood, then you're going to do good, you know. There's a lot of things that promoters just stop doing over time, you know. And I wish we could go back to some of the more older school mentality, you know.
How do we get back to that grassroots mentality of promoting? Where we didn't depend upon social media, where people used to go out and hang flyers up and used to talk to the local radio DJs and would advertise in the local newspaper and do whatever they had to do to make sure everyone knew that there was a wrestling show coming in that town.
Exactly. And see, now there's a lot of promotions that rely solely on Facebook, and that's why they fail. There's a reason that you can't just run a promotion with just social media. Number one is everybody doesn't have a Facebook page, believe it or not, you know. And even did have a Facebook page, everybody is not your friend on Facebook.
No.
So they're not going to see that you're posting your poster every day. Yes, Facebook is a nice tool to have. And it is free. You should utilize social media as a way to help bolster your show. But nothing will replace good ground and pound, hanging posters, putting out flyers, buying some newspaper. Nothing beats those in your town, wherever that town is. You know, any town USA, you need those three things. You need to hang posters. You need to put out some flyers, some handbills. You need to go buy a newspaper ad. If you have a local radio station that'll let you get a guy on, to talk about the show, then by all means, you should use that. That's another avenue that more people are going to hear and get the word out. You almost have to beat it. And with people have very short attention span to beat it in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Almost. You know, hey, wrestling. We're coming. We're going to be here Saturday. Or we're going to be here next Saturday. You know, one thing that I've utilized and I've had a lot of success with is I'll partner up with one of the local pizza establishments, and they'll put my flyers on their boxes. So every time they send a pizza out or deliver it to a home, those people get their pizza, they set it down on their table, and there's a wrestling flyer stuck to the top of the box. I mean, you've got to get it into their house almost, you know.
Right.
You know, and it works. And it costs me just the cost of the flyer. You know, you just have to get out and talk to the business. And promoters have gotten lazy. They don't do that. That's why there's so many promotions that start running, and in a few months, they're gone.
And I'm going to tell you, that bad promoting from other promoters makes it hard on the rest of the good promoters that actually could do a decent job in that town, because they burn out these towns when you try to go to these different venues. XYZ was here before you and didn't pay. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. And they make it hard on the rest of the good promoters.
You're right. You can go to a town and Joe Schmo had been there a year ago, and he didn't pay his bill over here. He owes this company, you know, he owes the building money, or he left the building in a mess. He owed the newspaper money, or he made promises to sponsors he didn't keep. And so automatically that's here all wrestling, and they loop you right in with that. Oh, yeah, we don't want to mess with those wrestling guys. And, yeah, you're exactly right. Some places you can go, and it's extremely hard to run because bad promoters have hurt the town. So, you know, to start a good promotion somewhere that had bad promoters there, it makes it double tough to get it off the ground. If you promise to the people and you pay your bills and you give a good show, eventually your name gets, hey, these guys are good. You know, he came in here and said he would do this, and he did what he said he would do. Oh, they took care of our building. You know, they cleaned up afterwards. You know, they paid their bills. You know, eventually you can win those people back, but it's twice as hard to do so.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, it is twice as hard.
Yeah, it's twice as hard once they get burned out. But, yeah, I'm in Asheville, North Carolina tomorrow night. I lead one of my clients, Matt Houston, in a three-way battle against two great guys. I mean, great wrestlers, Joe Black and the Firestar Pro Wrestling Southeastern champion, Rob Killjoy. In a three-way, you know, for Rob Killjoy's Firestar Southeastern title. You know, I've told Matt, look, we're not coming here to lose. We're coming here to walk away with that title. And that's what we intend to do. We intend on beating one of them and walking away with that Southeastern championship. That's what our full intentions are. So, Joe Black, if you're listening, nothing personal, I like you. Tomorrow night's business. Same with you, Rob Killjoy. I like Rob Killjoy personally, but tomorrow night's business. We're coming in Asheboro, and we intend to take that title. And later in the night, I'm going to leave my newest client, John Schuyler, in the battle against the CWS Legacy Champion, the Lucha Underground Stee Reyes, or as he's known on Lucha Underground, Cortez Castro. And we're going to take that title too. You know, the Fry Foundation is going to have a wonderful night tomorrow night in Asheville. We're going to be celebrating for hours after. We're going to be tossing back adult beverages. Who knows? We may even stir up a few rats in town. I don't know. We're coming to party after. We're coming to party after we take those titles. And there may not be an Asheville, North Carolina left when we're done tomorrow night. You know, we might have that party going on all night long after the show. I don't know. And then Friday, I'll go home and rest. Saturday, I'll be making an appearance at WrestleCade during the day. And then Saturday night, I'm going up to Gouge Pro Wrestling in Durham at Motor Co. And I'm going to stir up some trouble up there, too. Timmy Lou Retton is the champion up there. I just may try to round up somebody and take his title too. You know, just make a clean sweep. And then, of course, I'll be supporting Brian Kanabrowski and PWX on Sunday at Ziggy. So it's just going to be a wonderful week. Four events in 4 days with a day off. So, you know, hey, you know, you can do four events in 4 days and still have a day off. You're staying busy. And that's great. You know, I love that. And I hope to see, you know, maybe you guys make an appearance at one. I know Mr. Shaver, he enjoys PWX, and I've seen him at some of their events. Maybe I get to shake his hand Sunday, or maybe before. I don't know. And Nubs, I'd love for you to show up somewhere. Okay, cool. And then, Nubs, I'd love for you to show up somewhere and we can get some beer afterwards. That'd be great.
Sounds good. I might have to do one of those celebrities sit in the front row like where I'm at the Lakers game and wave to all the fans.
Oh, yeah. I'll put you over if you do. I'll get on the mic and say, ladies and gentlemen, we have a legitimate celebrity in the house. I'll put you over and let you tip your hat. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll do it. We'll have a ball with it. We'll drink some beer when it's done.
Sounds like a great night to me.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you, I truly appreciate you coming on the show.
It's great, sir.
To get a chance to talk to another pro wrestling manager. Because everyone these days wants to be the main event. They want to be a pro wrestler. They want to be the heavyweight champion. But no one these days wants to be a manager. It's one of the things in wrestling, you know. It's one of the lost arts, if you ask me, in professional wrestling. And when I get to see somebody else that actually is serious about being a wrestling manager, puts their heart into it, and actually goes out there and represents their clients, I mean, that does my heart good. Because that's one of the things, I mean, God rest his soul, Sir Oliver Humperdinck. He told me the last month that I didn't know he was passing. You know, I didn't know he was so sick. He told me, he said, Nugs, make sure that you keep the tradition alive of wrestling managers. Don't let everything that me and Playboy Gary Hart worked for all those years just go down in vain, you know. So, I mean, that's one of the things I got hanging over my head. So I can't really quit as a manager. So for me to see someone like yourself as a manager taking it so serious, it does my heart so good to see it.
Yeah, it's one of the most serious things I do. I catch heat at home sometimes. Oh, you're always doing this. You're always doing that. I'm like, well, you know, I'm sorry, but we're wired different. You know, people that are in wrestling – and I've said this, even some of the wrestlers will agree, you know, us pro wrestling people are wired different than normal people. Once it gets in your blood, no matter what it is, whether it's refereeing or wrestling, or like you said, even though ours is the dying art form, there's still a few of us out here that live and breathe what we do, and the managing is what is it. There's not as many of us as there should be, but you're right. It's a dying art. now we had to, they're doing all their stuff, and it's like they're leaving. It's almost like the wrestling business is trying to leave the managers behind. Mm-hmm. And it's our job to keep it going, not to let that part of it die. I grew up watching Gary Hart, Sir Oliver Humperdinck, Jim Cornette, Bobby Heenan, the Grand Wizard. Grew up watching those guys. And I used to hate them when I was a little kid. But as I got older, I started to appreciate what they brought to the ring, you know, to their matches. And I thought, dude, I had two bad knees. I always wanted to be a wrestler, but I knew my knees wouldn't let me. So I refereed for a while, and I thought, you know, this is bad on my knees too. And I went home, just like a light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, you know, I could do that. And it's a way for me to stay connected, take it very serious. You know, this is the way, how I can contribute. I don't have to be the main event guy on the card. I don't have to have my face on the poster. This is a way that I can stay in my business and still be a part of it. And I think if you've asked people that I work with, they'll tell you the same. They respect me. They see the desire I have. They can, well, no, you know, you, when you meet guys, you know if when you talk to them in the back, you know if they're with it or not.
Oh, yeah.
You just know.
I could tell you when I talk to a wrestler in the back, if he respects the managers or if he doesn't. I've seen wrestlers that look like I'm out there to steal their shine. And anyone knows, has any kind of understanding of what a wrestler manager really does out there, knows I'm not out there to steal your shine. I'm out there to make you, help put you over and help you love. I'm there to throw the fire on the spark that you light.
Exactly.
They don't grasp that. But so many different, if you study different wrestlers that were like that, like Rick Rude over the years, he thought Bobby Heenan was always stealing his heat and never understood how if he would have just played up to Heenan, how much better it would have been.
Yes, exactly.
He gave him that big Hollywood, big show feel to him when he just the thing when he teased him with the robe. No, you're not ready to see the package yet. You know, just that big, and he wouldn't let him work it the way it should have been. I mean.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's a dying art. They, like you said, a lot of them think you're just out there trying to steal their thunder, and you're not. If anything, you're trying to help them get over more. You know, but some of them get it. Some of them really do. And they work with you. And when they work with you, it makes it twice as good what we do at the ring. It works twice as good. But if they're working against you, you know, you feel like you're just standing around with your thumb up your tail end. You know, you're out there getting heat with people in the front row, and, you know, sometimes I think, dude, I could have stayed at home. You know, why am I here? But when your guy is on the same page as you, it's almost magical. Those are the moments I live for. And the guys that I'm working with in Asheville tomorrow night both get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just makes it, it just, it's magical, you know. It's magic when that happens. That's why I'm really looking forward to showing up in Asheville tomorrow and busting some faces. Carrying, like I said, bringing some gold home and partying afterwards. This weekend, I'm going to eat some turkey, eat some good food, and enjoy for old friends, and maybe drink a beer or two. You know,
sounds like a great weekend is planned.
Yep.
James, do you have any questions for Mr. Fry?
You pretty much asked everything I was going to ask, so I have no questions.
Okay, wow.
James Shaver is actually at a loss of words.
I know. Has he said anything other than welcome, Mr. Fry, and I like PWX? I mean, you know, he's just like he's not even here. It's just me and you, Nugs, which is okay. I'm not doubting the man for that. That's cool, you know, if that's his deal. But, yeah, you know, that's great. You know, hey, I still love you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I enjoy doing these things. I don't do a lot of them, but I've done this one twice in the last couple months. I actually enjoyed it. Of course,
I do too. I've done a lot of these blog talk shows myself, and you can tell the difference when someone actually cares what they're doing or they're doing it just to put themselves over.
Right.
I under no circumstance, I mean, I agreed to do the show with James, but I told him right out, I said, it's not about Joey Nugs. It ain't the Joey Nugs show. It's not the James Shaver show. I said, let's try to put wrestling over, try to make some of these indie wrestlers actually get some shine here in the area, try to help build the wrestling community. I told him right out, if we're not helping to help it, help to build it, I don't want to hurt it. I said,
right,
you know, we got to try to push everything. So I said,
right.
I'll tell you, like I tell everyone, sir, if you enjoyed the show, tell all your fans, tell all your all the wrestlers about it. Have them call in, be part of the show. I mean, it would have been phenomenal if we could have had 20 wrestling fans call in and ask your questions tonight. But we got to build the popularity of the show up, and that's what we're trying to do. You know, it's just the same thing as pro wrestling. It's grassroots. It's building up and trying
that's
to get
right.
people to know about the show.
That's exactly right. Before I go, I just want to push where I'm going to be one more time because those are the people who pay me. I'm going to be in Asheboro, North Carolina tomorrow night at CWS Asheboro, Thanksgiving night, big show. John Schuyler's there. Ricky Reyes from Lucha Underground. Member of the Fantastics, Bobby Fulton.
Wow.
It's going to be a great night. The Heat Seekers, NWA World Tag Team Champions, are going to be in Asheboro tomorrow night. It's going to be a great show there, you know. Friday I'm off. Saturday, of course, I'll be appearing at the Big Time Wrestling Carolinas table at WrestleCade at the Benton Convention Center in Winston-Salem. They're going to have over 100 wrestling stars there during the day. If
wow.
you've never been to this thing, man, it's fantastic. It's like one big, giant fan fest in a day, you know.
Wow.
And then Saturday night, we're going up to Durham, North Carolina, at the Gouge Pro Wrestling Show. They're going to have a turkey on a pole match.
Turkey on a pole match?
Yeah, it's like a battle royal or something with a turkey on a pole. Man, it's going to get crazy up there. And that's a bar show.
Tell me the turkey's going to
be
cooked, not raw. Good Lord.
It's going to be nuts up there. It's going to be great, man. I always love working for those guys. They have a great crew. You know, Otto Swan is going to be up there. You know, they always have a great crew up there. Their champion, Timmy Lou Retton, like I said, I may just find somebody and take his title too while I'm up there. Timmy, don't worry. I still like you. Business is business. And then on Sunday, I'll be appearing at the PWX show. I'm not going to be doing any of the wrestling, but I will be out shaking hands, kissing babies, and maybe grabbing nice girls behind. And watching my Steelers on the TV behind the bar. So
yeah.
Life is good, you know. We're going to smash those Seahawks. I'm so glad it's a 4 o'clock game, you know. So I'll get to watch it at the same time I get to watch people punch each other in the face. Life will be good Sunday.
Yeah,
but that's all I got. No, unless y'all got some questions.
No, I don't think we have any other questions. I think any questions we'd ask would pull away from what is important, and that's that pro wrestling day, all these events that people should be attending this weekend to see you and all your many clients. I don't think we could do anything better than that, honestly. I do ask, sir, tell all your friends and family about the show, and do ask you in the future. We definitely would love to have you back as a guest again. It's been phenomenal talking to you.
Hey, anytime, man. You know how to contact me anytime. somebody cancels, you need somebody at the last minute, hit me up. I'll call and we can talk old school wrestling or whatever you want to talk about.
I'll do it, brother, and I love that. I like to talk old school wrestling for days. That's where my heart's at.
Yes, sir. Mine too. I appreciate you guys having me on. Y'all have a good night, good Thanksgiving. If I see you this weekend, great. I'd love to. But if I don't, y'all have a good Thanksgiving. Enjoy your holidays. Don't get run over in the stores on Friday. I'm not going, so you don't have to worry about that happening to me. But, you know, I'd give somebody a good swift back kick and a thrust to the throat, but I'd get my toy, but, you know, frown on that at the local department store, so that's why I don't know.
Well, I will,
okay,
see you,
man.
I will see you at Zigney on Sunday.
Awesome. Awesome. You guys have a great night.
Take care. Thank you for being on the show. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Right,
God bless.
All right.
All right, Stephen Fry, our first guest on tonight. And we're waiting
interview.
On Ricky Reyes. That was a
phenomenal
interview.
Interview.
You handled that all by yourself, and you did well.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I felt like I was just talking to an old friend, talking shop, one wrestling manager to the other. That just felt so great to me. God, I wish we should have I think every wrestling interview should go that easy. That wasn't even like work. I mean, that was just talking shop with a good friend.
And, yeah, you're right. Wrestling managers are a lost art.
They really are the lost art. They really are. These wrestling companies, I don't know if they don't understand what wrestling managers really do, or they're just so cheap that they think that we don't need wrestling managers. I mean, a good wrestling manager is a staple. I mean, once a wrestling manager gets it, builds his heat up in a company, I mean, anyone you put with him at that point is going to get instantaneous heat. He's just going to get that rub and be able to – people say, okay, if this guy's with Joey Nuggs and Joey Nuggs is the big, bad wrestling manager, anyone that comes with him's got to be a bad guy too. I mean, it just makes sense. But I guess, I mean – pro wrestling, just like he says all the time, doesn't make sense. So who am I to say what's right or wrong?
Right. Well, we're waiting on Ricky Reyes to come by. We're not.
So you have a turkey and ham, or just turkey tomorrow night?
I'm not even sure. I think we're having ribeye steak. I think we got Ricky Reyes on the line right now.
Is he on the line?
Would this be,
yeah, hello?
Ricky Reyes, would this be, hello, Ricky Reyes. Welcome to Carolina Wrestling Live Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Phenomenal. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing phenomenal.
Doing
great. Ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Just talking pro wrestling. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's talk pro wrestling.
All right.
Okay, tomorrow night you have a big match with defending your CWS Legacy Championship against John Skyler. Tell us about how you are preparing for your match against John Skyler tomorrow night.
Take every match extremely serious, so I'm pretty excited about it. I wrestled Rob Killjoy last month for CWS and had a really good match and was really excited with it, and the crowd was pretty happy with everything. So I'm looking forward to tonight. It's going to be a pretty big show, so I'm always jacked up for the bigger events and stuff like that.
Okay, also you have another big match coming up on Saturday in Durham. You're taking on Gouge champion Kenny Lou Retton. You get a title shot at that belt. So there's a chance you could get two titles this weekend. How are you preparing for Kenny Lou Retton?
He's a little unorthodox. His style of wrestling is very athletic, and he's he's a pretty big guy. So it's very rare to see a guy with his agility and flexibility and stuff. So I'm excited for that match as well. Looking forward to the challenge of a bigger and more athletic opponent. So I always kind of worry more about my training as far as like techniques and strength and endurance, really. So I kind of prepare not for each opponent, but I just kind of work on preparing myself for, you know, the worst case scenario and all different styles of wrestling. So, I mean, I've trained in Japan and Mexico City and, you know, all over the United States. So I'm used to any kind of style of wrestling. So I just worry more about my endurance and strength and stuff like that as far as like when training goes. But I also have a title match against Capri, I believe it is, for AML's championship as well on Saturday morning at the WrestleCade event in North Carolina. So I actually have three title matches in 2 days.
All right, very cool. And those of you are for those people that in North Carolina that who do not know who Ricky Reyes is, who do not know about you, could you explain about the persona of Ricky Reyes? Who is Ricky Reyes to the folks in the Carolinas?
Well, Ricky Reyes is a pretty intense style wrestler. Again, like I've trained all over the world, lived in Japan and Mexico, Puerto Rico, wrestled, you know, ROH tag champion and stuff. So my style of wrestling is pretty dynamic and unique. I prefer to refer to it kind of as a strong style lucha style wrestling, where I can wrestle any style of wrestling from Mexican style to, you know, an aggressive, hard-hitting Japanese style. And I was an amateur wrestler in high school and stuff, and did some kickboxing training and stuff like that. So, as far as like who Ricky Reyes is just, I mean, I'm kind of a more or less no-nonsense type of wrestler. Very aggressive. I'm very technical with everything that I do. So, I've been compared to a lot of different wrestlers, but I make my own style of wrestling and I prefer to, I mean, my style of wrestling is really I don't have a style. Like, I can do everything. So I can do all styles, I guess I should say. So it's kind of a little more unique as far as like techniques and stuff like that, and kind of mixing it up. Pretty much wrestle anybody on any night. So I always look forward to the challenge, though, of wrestling new guys. Like all week this week, you know, Thanksgiving and Saturday will be three opponents I've never been in the ring with. But that's what I look forward to the most, is the challenge of the unknown. And, you know, and as far as like training goes, I mean, I'm in the gym twice a day, 5-6 days a week, depending on my wrestling and traveling schedule. But I'm ready for anything and looking forward to this week.
All right. What are some of the favorite moves that you like to use in your arsenal?
I prefer like different types of strikes. Again, like with training, mixed martial arts and kickboxing and stuff like that, I do a lot of kicks, jumping kicks and enziguris and roaring elbows. I like to make it exciting with hard-hitting style wrestling. So, and then being an amateur wrestler, having that background, you know, a lot of suplexes and stuff like that. So, I can do it all. Like, I prefer to keep it aggressive and like I said, just very technical with everything. So, watching a Ricky Reyes match is like sitting down to a steak dinner. Like, you kind of take your time with it and slowly get into the good parts of it. So it's, I guess my style will be a little bit more methodical and enjoyable in that sense. So I don't do a lot of flips and dives or anything crazy like that. Like, I'm not very gymnast style wrestling like some people are, but once you see a Ricky Reyes match, you know it's unique and different and special in different ways. So you know, like I use a lot of different style of moves and throws and stuff like that you might more see in Japan, if anything, like Northern Lights bombs, brain busters, you know, tornado DDTs, stuff like that. So just very fundamentally sound wrestling style is usually what I refer to as.
And you were trained by Antonio Inoki, is that correct?
Yes. I lived in the New Japan Dojo in Santa Monica for about 3 years, and Mr. Inoki was there. He, at the time, lived in Santa Monica, so he would come by the dojo and work out with us a couple times a week whenever he was in the country. And the training regimen there was very intense. That's where I get my aggressive style from. We had every day we had a different discipline come in, like a new coach, and we even had a Ken Yasuda as a pro bodybuilder, and he would come in on Fridays and do like fitness evaluations and strength training for us and stuff. So we had like a kickboxing day, a jiu-jitsu day, Greco-Roman wrestling day, pro wrestling at night during the week. And that's when I ended up going to Mexico City for CMLL, because the New Japan office wanted me to be a little more different style, you know, besides Japanese style wrestling. So kind of covered all bases, including Mr. Inoki would come in and he would roll around with us and teach us Japanese jiu-jitsu, submission style wrestling, catch wrestling and stuff like that. And then we just, you know, as a group, we would sit around and just had the freedom to ask questions and what his take was on wrestling and what it should be and stuff like that. So I probably learned more in an hour listening to Mr. Inoki talk than I probably did in 10 years traveling the world. So yeah, it was a unique and special opportunity.
So you had a successful run in Ring of Honor through 2002 to 2006. Tell us about your Ring of Honor run.
It was okay. I mean, you know, it was a different time, different company, you know, than it is now. I learned a lot with that experience, seeing the wrestling business now. You know, at the time, I guess I just didn't really know a lot. I was just kind of doing what I was told, and I was in a, I thought, pretty good position. And you know, as you grow, you know, in any profession, you know, you take little things that you've learned along the way, and that's what helps you, you know, become a better person and a better athlete and stuff now. So, I mean, I enjoyed the time I was there. I wish I had gotten an opportunity to be able to do more before I left, but that wasn't in the cards for me. But you know, and at the time, I was more worried about, you know, making everyone happy and just kind of doing what I was, you know, expected to do. And I always, in the back of my mind, thought I would like to have done more. And you know, but that time has passed, and I take a lot of you know, lessons that I learned from different wrestlers there and my time there, and I that's made me a better person than today, you know, and a better wrestler now. So I enjoyed it a lot. I know a lot of wrestling fans remember what I did there and remember my run there, and they enjoyed it. So I'm happy in that sense. So.
And you had a brief run in CCW as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was, you know, that never really got off the ground. I know that CCW at the time wanted me there more, but it was tough because I was busy I was still in ROH at the time, and I was kind of busy in other areas of wrestling, like, you know, it's difficult because when an independent company like that, you know, they kind of want you involved, and it's difficult for a guy like myself where, you know, you're in demand in different areas, you know. So, like, when I spoke with them about coming in initially, their idea was to put me in the Blackout group, which was a very successful group for them. Felt that I fit there with them, and I enjoyed that the few times I was there, but you know, it just wasn't in the cards for me to just stay there and make them my, you know, my home, and to not be able to go out and go to other places. So unfortunately it never really got off the ground. It was more like I would come in, do what I could when I could, and then, you know, I just kind of moved on. Sometimes I feel like places like that kind of, you know, geared towards one particular audience too much. And I don't know, it's not always a good fit for the talent and for the company. So I didn't mind going there when I could, but it wasn't anything I was trying to, you know, focus on or anything like that. So.
You had a lengthy run down in Puerto Rico, down in the WWC. You were there for 6 years. Tell us about your run down there.
That was amazing. that really helped me find, you know, the true art of wrestling. I mean, what I did there, you couldn't do on the independent scene and stuff like that. And, you know, going, I stayed there for a while and then went back and forth a couple times. And, it was just a great learning experience being able to live there and, you know, train with those guys, you know, during the week and then shoot TV and house shows and stuff like that. I mean, it's just a unique opportunity to, you know, you only get that type of learning experience if you're in the WWE, you know, or now, like, you know, even NXT and stuff like that, where, you know, you learn how to wrestle like TV, you know, on one day, and then house shows and travel. And there, it's still very old school. So, you know, I mean, it was sometimes you didn't know who you're wrestling until you're in the ring, you know, locker rooms on opposite ends of the arena, you know, your opponent, like, I don't, you know, doesn't speak language that you speak, and, you know, it was very difficult in that sense, you know. So you really learn how to, you know, wrestle and get the crowd involved at the same time. So it was a unique learning experience. I mean, I was offered to leave at a certain point and then come back, and I had talked with Carlos, and I told him I really wasn't ready to leave, so I stayed longer, and he you know, gave me an open invitation. He said, you can stay as long as you want. I didn't know if you were, you know, wanted to go home with your family or whatnot. And I was kind of, you know, like, moved away from my family a long time ago. So I was kind of, you know, just a rolling stone type of thing. So I was just like, nah, I'm good. I just want to learn as much as I can. So I got to talk with him every night and, you know, kind of evaluate my matches. And I would go to the office and, you know, and just speak with him about ideas and, you know, and just character development and stuff like that. And, you know, he kind of critiqued my stuff. And so it was an amazing learning experience. Like, I really grew not only as a wrestler, but as a person, and kind of looked at, I left Puerto Rico looking at the wrestling business in a new light, you know, and much more motivated than I was when I went there, which I was extremely motivated to go there. So it was it was an experience that I'll never forget and helped shape me to the performer I am today.
And tell us about your current run in Lucha Underground.
We're still right in the middle of it, and actually it's just the beginning of it, really. And it's amazing. You know, I was the first wrestler to sign with Lucha Underground. They had went after like a handful of people, and I had gotten a phone call, you know, that this was going to be a go. Actually, the AAA office called me and told me that that this was really going to happen, because I had been speaking with AAA about coming to Mexico City, and nothing ever, you know, came about, because at the time they were full and they were planning on branching out to the United States with a company on TV. And I was told that once it happened, I would be, you know, one of the first guys picked. And actually I was, you know, I got a call. I remember it was a Friday night that I got a call from AAA office telling me that someone's going to call me Monday morning. And, you know, that this is, you know, it's like a company with AAA talent, but, you know, Mexican-American audience and stuff like that. And, you know, wrestling business, and not everything always pans out that good. So you kind of just go, cool, yeah, you know, sure, we'll see if it happens. And then sure enough, Monday afternoon, the director called me and asked if I was interested in the show. And I said, absolutely. And Tuesday afternoon, I was emailed a contract. And Wednesday afternoon, I had, you know, signed it, and technically I was the first wrestler to sign with Lucha Underground. So the joke in the back is I'm number one. So, but it's an amazing show. If any fans, you know, have ever seen the product itself, they know it's different. It's unique. From a wrestling business standpoint, it's not really a wrestling company as much as it's a TV show about a wrestling company. So it's very unique in that sense, where as a wrestler or a performer on the show, you're not treated like a pro wrestler so much as you're treated like a movie star. So that's very nice in that sense, where, you know, you're taken care of in so many ways, and the company's so amazing, and the, you know, the writers and stuff, they're just, you know, they're very free and open about, you know, ideas, and, you know, character development obviously is a huge thing there. So every time I go, I seem to pick something up new as far as like character wise and TV wise and stuff like that. And then the matches are absolutely insane because of all the different talent from Mexico City and top guys from the United States. You know, I mean, it's just growing and getting bigger and bigger. It's funny that how the Hollywood people don't, and the directors and the crew there, they don't realize how rabid, you know, and passionate wrestling fans are, because sometimes they think that, oh, we can control this crowd. And all of us kind of tell them, like, you don't get it. Like, these fans are going to let you know, like, it's not like a TV show with a live audience that'll sit there and be quiet when you put the light on, you know, it's not like that. Wrestling fans are out of control, you know, and when they like something, they'll let you know. When they don't like it, they'll let you know, so it's pretty awesome atmosphere in the arena and stuff like that. So we're right in the middle of just beginning season two, taping it, and people that have been there live have said that it's already the best wrestling matches that they've seen, you know, all year long, you know, any company around the world. So, and we're just getting started. So it's like this out of control forest fire that's just getting bigger and bigger. So it's pretty cool.
Okay, we got a call from area code 919. Area code 919, you're on the air on Carolina Wrestling Live Radio.
Hello, it's Timmy Lou Retton.
Hello.
Hello, Timmy Lou Retton. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just thought I'd come in and chime in some. Just listen to my friend Ricky. Hi, Ricky.
Hello.
How are thou?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Just left the gym.
Awesome.
Thinking about you.
I'm thinking about you too, buddy.
So how was the trip to North Carolina?
You know, 8 hours, no big deal.
Yeah, especially you. You pulled that off No big deal. Looking forward to our match Saturday.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait.
Hey, James.
What's going on, Timmy?
Nothing much. How's life?
My life is going pretty well.
Good. Just have a question. So, Ricky, you also have a match that day with Caprice Coleman. What do you think your chances are on winning the AML championship and then come to Durham to win my Gouch Heavyweight Championship?
Chances are looking pretty good. Probably have to buy another bag, put all my belts in, and bring them home. So that's the only problem I see.
The only problem. Well, I do look forward to seeing your match with you and Mr. Coleman, because I will be there. You know, I'll be there at WrestleCade in the Battle Royal, which I will win, and I'll Zordon's calling me. But I'll also be there scouting the match, preparing for our Saturday night.
Look forward to it.
Me as well. You have a good night, sir.
You too.
All right, Timmy Lou Retton stopping by.
All right. That was kind of kooky. Don't feel as masculine as I used to. Woo! Happy Thanksgiving. Good Lord. Does he come with the tutu to the ring? Or, I mean, I don't know that guy that well.
I don't know if he does or not.
Does he, I mean, his name is Lou Rett. Does he come out in figure skates?
I'll let you know after Saturday.
Watch. Don't drop the soap, brother.
No. I don't need the soap that bad.
I'm just playing. The guy's probably a great guy.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a great athlete. Well, Nugs, you got some questions for Ricky Reyes?
Yes, I do. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I think it's phenomenal that we have an international wrestling star on the show tonight before Thanksgiving. It made my night right out the gate. I want to thank you for that. Two, I want to ask you, you travel all over the world. The difference in styles of wrestling, out of all the different styles, I know you can do them all. What do you, if you had your choice to, you know, just go out and do a certain style, what style you think you'd just rather do more than the rest of them?
I'm not sure. It's tough to say because each style is so different, you know, and it's every area is different. Like the fans kind of react differently as well. So, you know, like a lot of people say lucha is very flashy and fast paced, which it is. And, you know, and then the fans are kind of crazy for it from start to finish, to where in Japan, it's a little more methodical, slower pace. It's like a bigger, like a slower build. And the fans are just as passionate, just in a different way, where they kind of just like, they're just watching. And the fans in Japan, like, find it disrespectful to kind of, like, yell and stuff and kind of not so much, like, cheer, but, like, be vocal. Like, they find it, like okay, these guys are doing, you know, their job, basically, and then they just find it that, you know, they're more intrigued by what you're doing and kind of the technique and stuff like that. And then in Puerto Rico, it's kind of like a free-for-all. It's more – the fans are hot from start to finish, and, you know, they want to see more, not so much flashy as much as they just want to see like a brawl and blood and, you know, fists kind of throwing. It's very like a free fight type of thing, free for all type of thing. So, I mean, if I had to pick one particular style to do, I guess, 'cause I'm more technical about what I do, I, I've always kind of felt really comfortable in front of a Japanese crowd, kind of just read them more. It kind of fits into what I do. Like, you know, I appreciate that the fans appreciate what we do as athletes, you know, and kind of have that respect for what we're doing. And then I'm not as flashy. So, you know, like in Mexico City, it wasn't difficult for me to compete, but it was like, I don't do anything like high flying type of stuff. And, you know, so it was a little bit more of a challenge for me there. But, I mean, if I had to pick one, I guess it would be the Japanese style of pro wrestling, I guess. Just cause that's kind of my base was wrestling like through high school and stuff. So I would say that, but those are kind of the way the fans kind of react, you know, to each different style.
Gotcha. That's phenomenal. So you've been over to Japan. Did you come back with the Ribera Steakhouse jacket, like all the famous wrestlers always want to come back with?
Yeah, I got like three of them.
You ain't got a size 5X, do you?
No, unfortunately. I think my mom has them in Southern California. That's where I was born and raised. But
gotcha.
I think I just left them, most of them there, or gave them to a girlfriend or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It was fun going there, you know. And I know some people kind of, you know, love those things and, you know, mm-hmm. cherish them or whatever. But I don't know. The experience of being there and training there and wrestling there was my payoff, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, I hear that from wrestlers all the different time. I mean, I hear what an awesome Kong talk about their experiences in Japan. When I was in Orangeburg at one time with her, and she's telling me it's just a different world over there. How is that mentally?
Yeah.
I mean, you're used to the pop of different crowds, of them being, and you say they sit there and they watch. Does it mess with you psychologically? You say to yourself that they're just not getting it, or you just got to tell yourself that?
Yeah, at first it throws you off. It really does. Because when you're used to, you know, doing certain things and then, you know, kind of you get a certain reaction from, like, an American crowd, it's at first you kind of think, like, oh, you know, like, am I doing something wrong? Or, you know, so it takes a little while to adjust, as it does anywhere else. Like, you know, if you went and did, you know, anything anywhere in a different country, you know, the culture and everything else is different. That's why, like, for me, you know, it really wasn't enough to just go to Japan and wrestle and then leave. Like, I requested to stay and live in the dojo and, you know, train with the guys. And, you know, that was what I wanted. I wanted to learn about the culture. I wanted to travel, you know, in between tours, I wanted to, you know, what do the guys do, you know, like, you know, where do you go? And, you know, you learn more that way and grow more as a person, as an individual, you know, and learn to respect and understand, you know, what it is that, you know, why it is that they act the way they do. You know, they're very respectful, you know. Mm-hmm. So once you start to understand that, you know, it's just easier to adjust, you know. So that's why when I go places, like, I always look forward to, you know, training and you know, really just kind of taking in the culture itself from whatever country you go to. You know, it's just more, you can understand the people more. So.
That's phenomenal. So how many years have you been wrestling now?
I debuted in, like, late 1999, so too long. I wrestled through high school and stuff, and when I was 6 years old, I just decided that this was what was exactly what I was going to do, and, you know, you know, I just did whatever it took to get better, and, you know, never really thought about doing anything else, and don't really enjoy doing anything else, so I just continue to go forward.
That's phenomenal. So let me ask you this. I mean, if you had one dream match of anyone dead or alive that you could wrestle, who would it be?
Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie, yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I could see your styles meshing well, too. Really good.
Yeah, after a while, I started really patterning myself, that's kind of where I found how to really connect with the audience was the way he did. I always thought that besides technical-wise, he knew everything, every hold and counter and could do everything correctly. Actually was trained my first couple of years by Mondo Guerrero and Hector. They helped me out a lot. And then, ironically enough, now I tag team with Chavo Guerrero and Lucha Underground. So, so it's kind of crazy how, like, when I started, I didn't really know what I was doing, and Mondo's kind of like the loose cannon of the Guerrero family. He was always like a little bit out there more, which is what I really enjoyed with his training, because I like intense training. Like, I like to leave the ring knowing not only did I learn something, but, I got a good workout in it. And Mondo kind of had like that small person, bad attitude where he was like, kind of looked at the whole world was against him because he was short, so mm-hmm. he put that chip on his shoulder and in training, we would, a bunch of us kind of like would go to his, school or whatever. And we'd all work out with him. And he just kind of took a liking to me just cause I was a little more intense than a lot of other guys. But, he would tell me like, be proud to be a wrestler, cause at first I was, I wrestled my senior year in high school at 125s, so I was very small getting out of high school. So I always kind of felt like I didn't deserve to call myself a professional wrestler because I was still training, and I was so small. So people would tell me like, oh, you're a wrestler? Like, aren't you too small to be a wrestler? So I kind of had this thing where, I wasn't ashamed, but for the sport of wrestling, I felt like I couldn't tell a lot of people, or I would tell them like, well, I'm just training, even though I was wrestling and stuff like that. But he really opened my eyes and was like, you should be proud, like, look at me, and I'm taller than Mondo. And he's like, I travel the world and wrestlers carry themselves a certain way and this and that. And it was just like, his mindset was like, in his mind, he was as big as Andre the Giant, and it's very intimidating because he's very passionate, and he's helped me out so much. And Chavo Guerrero brought him to one of the tapings at Lucha Underground. And I mean, I had to pull him aside and I told him, I said, you probably don't remember this, but you told me this, this, and this. And he's like, I remember. And I said, to this day, those are things that I wake up and I think about, every single day in my life and in all aspects, and the whole, I kind of carry myself like a larger than life character because of what he told me. And I don't know if a lot of people in pro wrestling now get that type of advice, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you don't, you just kind of do wrestling because you think, oh, this is wrestling and what you're supposed to do. But like to carry that kind of pride and prestige of what we do, you know what I mean? Take yourself to another level mentally. That's how you win the game. You know what I mean? You have to think of yourself in a different light. So that reflects off of you. And then other people get that impression of you. And then they see you in only that light, and it's has to do with work ethic and confidence and, dedication, all these things that people aren't willing to take to the next level. That's what makes you successful, not just pro wrestling, but in anything. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're just a cashier at a grocery store, and you want to be the store manager, you know what I mean? Like, you're looking to push forward and get better and better, improve that. And a lot of guys nowadays don't do that. You know what I mean? Because, like, I do wrestling seminars and stuff, and I get these guys, and they're, oh, what can I do to wrestle in Japan? And what can I do to wrestle here? And I want to wrestle here. And I'm thinking, I never really thought about that when I started. I just looked at any possible chance to get better. I would just get better, If it was drive 3 hours to go to a wrestling school to learn something new, that's what I did. If I had to do it 5 days a week, I did it. Like, there was no limitation to what I would do, to get better. It wasn't a matter of just going to Japan or just going to Mexico. It was every single day it was a struggle to get better. Like, that was the goal, you know, and I still use that. Like, I still go places and train, and you know what I mean? Like, we're all TV stars in Lucha Underground, you know, but I'm the first one in the ring, in the practice ring, working out with some of the guys, like, hey man, let's do some stuff, you know? And, you know, and I've never, you know, you have to have an ego to get ahead in this business. You know, that's one thing, but you also got to know, like, you know, that there's always something new to learn. You know, you just got to be selective on who you're learning from, you know? And I mean, like, you know, because of my history with the Guerrero family, like, and training with them and stuff like that, like, Chavo's and myself, we've become very close. And, you know, I mean, every night, I mean, I sit and talk with them 10, 15 minutes, however long I can get with them. And we just talk about very small little things about professional wrestling that can make me better. And then I'll be sitting on a plane and I just think about what he said and how I can use that and how, you know, how to get better. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's you're always learning, always, you know, from all different aspects. Like, you know, the writers there tell me, hey, you can do this to get better at this. Okay, that's then there's no question about it. You just do it. You know what I mean? Because it's not really work. It's what you love. You know, if this is going to make me a better wrestler, then I'm going to do it. You know, if this green drink is going to make me a better wrestler, you know, at the end of the week, then I'm going to drink it every day. You know, it's there's no hesitation for me. You know, I do whatever it takes to get better. I'm not worried about just going to wrestle here or just going to, I didn't, you know, say, oh, I only want to be a TV wrestler now. I just want to be a better wrestler at wherever I'm at. You know, tomorrow night I'm in CWS in Asheboro, North Carolina, and my focus tomorrow will be to be the best Ricky Reyes I can possibly be that night, and then the next night, and then the next night, you know. And that's my job, prepared for anything. You know, the fans don't care that I drove 8.5 hours today and went to the gym and I'm extremely tired. They don't care. They came to see Ricky Reyes, you know, the best Ricky Reyes that I could bring. They don't care that I just got off the plane 2 days ago and I'm missing Thanksgiving with my family and my one-year-old son. They don't care because they paid money to see Ricky Reyes, and that's my job. And, you know, that's my only priority.
Phenomenal. Well, Mr. Reyes, I'll tell you, talking to you, sir, I hear the passion in pro wrestling just coming out of your. You could tell someone that is working in wrestling so they could break through their buddies and the girls at the bar that they work in pro wrestling, and those people that you could truly tell it's their life. And I could tell there's a difference in what I talk to you, sir. And it is it was amazing talking to you. I don't know if James has anything else to say to you, but I'll tell you, I appreciate it. I can't think of anything better would have been for Thanksgiving than talk to you tonight.
Oh, well, thank you.
James, you have anything for
pleasure having you on? Just one more question, and we'll let you go. Who is your toughest opponent?
Probably Samoa Joe, for obvious reasons.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I started training with Joe probably my second year in wrestling in UPW in Huntington Beach, California. It's where, like, John Cena got signed and Victoria got signed and Chris Daniels was there. And that's actually the first time I met Chavo. We were training in Huntington Beach when WCW got bought out by WWE, and he came down to train because he was technically he was off TV but still getting paid, so he would come down and help us out and stuff, you know, when he could. And Joe and I kind of came up together like around the same time, so we kind of had the love for like mixed martial arts and stuff. Obviously, training in Huntington Beach, we would, you know, like big fans like Tito Ortiz and, you know, Tank Abbott and those guys when the UFC was really starting, and kind of just fell in love with the art of jiu-jitsu. And so I started taking a liking to like kickboxing and stuff like that. So we shared that and kind of grew together. And then we were in ROH at around the same time. And I remember one night in Boston, I believe it was. I wrestled Joe in a singles match, and I always remember him hitting me. I've never been hit so hard before in my life, where he was in the turnbuckle and I was charging at him, and he threw an open hand palm strike. We trained with like Boss Rutan, who's a MMA fighter, a legend. And he was a huge success in a Japanese promotion called Pancrase, which was basically the UFC, except they would have to wear pro wrestling type of gear where they had kick pads and stuff, but they never punched. They could punch to the body, but they couldn't punch to the head. So he would teach us palm strikes. And basically, you know, you just kind of open your hand wide and throw it like a punch. And Joe had a lot of, you know, weight behind it. So I charged in at him, and he gave me a palm strike to the jaw. And the sound that his hand hitting my cheek made so loud that I went deaf in my ear for like 5 minutes. I remember he hit me, and it sounded like a gunshot in my left ear, and I couldn't hear anything. And I remember going to the ground, and went to the floor eventually. And then he did his running kick, and the side of my head ricocheted off the barricades. And that was a loud bang, and then that's when my hearing came back. So he literally knocked the sound out of my ears, and then kicked it back in for me. But he by far is the toughest opponent I've ever had, because he can move very fast, and he's very technical with like jiu-jitsu and submission wrestling. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but he's good at sambo, which is a Russian style of leg lock submission, and he's really good at judo. So he can kind of lock you up and just kind of have his way and throw you around the ring. And, you know,
that's something I never knew. So it sounds like the way you describe it, Joe's a legit badass too.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe's it's funny because like, that's one of the reasons why we're such good friends now, is because, you know, in our downtime, we like to hit the bag and get better at different, you know, techniques and stuff. It's just a good workout all the way around. But in time you start to develop your skills and become sharper and sharper. Like, Joe's not a person to be on his bad side. So, but he would be my toughest opponent, and I've wrestled him a handful of times. But every time I have, I have fond memories of being hit very, very hard.
Sounds great to me.
Well, Ricky, thank you for chatting with us tonight.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Ricky Reyes, our guest tonight here on Carolina Wrestling Live Radio. Well, Nugs, are you ready to call it a night?
I think so, too. I don't think there's really anything else after that we could really come up and say. That was phenomenal. I mean, I think this one, if you go back, this show will be a classic in pro wrestling for your show.
A great interview indeed. All right. Well, Nugs, I will see you. I will see you Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. Have a great Thanksgiving. Eat a lot of bird, and I'll talk to you then, brother.
All right. We'll see. We will see you guys Tuesday night. Until then, take care.
Play that music for us.